Hey everybody, welcome back to Last Night in Vegas. I'm your host, Brian Ortega, and in this week's Last Night in Vegas, I'm actually going to be going out of town. So I'm actually going to be recapping my travels to Los Angeles, but it's not just going to Los Angeles. I'm actually going to be talking about, since many of the people who, you know, listen to this pod are from LA, kind of what the differences are between Los Angeles and Las Vegas in terms of a travel destination. And I actually think this is also going to be a really good pod for anybody coming from overseas or anybody who wants to squeeze in going to Los Angeles while they're visiting Vegas for an extended period of time, because really Vegas, you can really do Vegas in like three or four days. But if you're going to be here for like a week, or, you know, you want to get out of town for a little bit, I think this is actually going to be a really helpful pod on knowing how things kind of operate and how different they are. And also just sort of highlighting some differences between California, specifically Los Angeles, and the city of Las Vegas. So hopefully this is a fun episode that you can kind of just sort of travel through with me. But yeah, it'll be kind of fun seeing how it is to travel to a different place, which is like Los Angeles, and compare it to what it's like in Las Vegas. So that'll be on this week's Last Night in Vegas. Okay, everybody, so let's go ahead and dive into it. So we're going to be talking about my travels to Los Angeles. So the real reason that I actually went to LA, as for being a little break, this was basically a 2.5-day trip. So I actually ended up driving there. I left, you know, relatively early on Wednesday morning, and then I had all of Wednesday, obviously, Thursday, and then I had to come back on Friday early in the morning. So that was sort of my timeline. So it's basically a 2-day trip to Los Angeles. So end up leaving. I would say if you are coming from, like, you know, let's just say someplace like Europe or the East Coast, and you want to drive there, it takes about 4 to 4.5 hours to drive to Los Angeles. Kind of depends on, you know, your speed. It also depends on, you know, the time of the day that you left at, and of course, you know, what part of Los Angeles you're going to. Los Angeles is a huge city, as many people know that already. And honestly, I find it much more fun driving to Los Angeles than driving back from Los Angeles, just because it's, you know, how do I say this? Whenever you're going back to your house, it's not as fun as going away from your house sometimes. So anyways, so I left pretty early. I left, you know, around, I would say about 7:30, 8 o'clock. That's probably a good time to get on the road, especially on a Wednesday. It's not a huge deal, depending on where you're leaving from, especially if you're going from Vegas to LA. So on my way there, it's not a very fun drive. I think most people who've made the trip to either or Los Angeles or Las Vegas know that it's not a very fun drive. So for those of you that are, you know, going to be renting a car that are here in Las Vegas and doing like a day, you know, a day and a half trip to LA, I would maybe recommend renting your car the night before so you have it ready to go early in the morning, because typically rental cars don't open, you know, till very, you know, till early in the morning. I would say like 6 or 7 o'clock. And that's, you know, not always fun because you have to go, you have to get your car, and you know, it's not always a thing. But again, sometimes you're on a budget and you have to do it the same day. So either way, as you drive, I would say that, again, pack water, pack a couple of things to go with you, kind of all your regular travels. There are stops along the way, but there is, you know, big stretches of space where you are just driving through the mountains. And I would say this is actually a really, really fun scenic drive for anybody who's coming from, you know, Germany or coming from England, where you get to sort of see the space between our big two cities. And it's a beautiful desert for parts of it. And then you get into the mountainous parts when you get closer to, you know, California itself. But somebody who's lived in the desert all their life, this is basically normal life. It's just flat plains as you drive to LA. But when you get there, I was actually staying in Beverly Hills, which, don't call me bougie, I do get a discount. So I stayed at the Beverly Hills Marriott, which was quite a nice Marriott. You can definitely tell that it was an older building that had been redone, and they were really trying to like hammer home the "this is Beverly Hills" aspect of it, which was fantastic. I had never been to a Marriott where they had complimentary wine, white wine, and cider available, which that was very nice of them. So I just took one. I didn't really drink a lot of it because I don't drink white wine like that, but I took it because it's free. So that was nice. They also did valet. And this kind of comes to my first sort of thing about the differences between Los Angeles and Las Vegas. And this could be a California thing in general. I think it's actually a good thing. So the valet, you had to charge. They actually did not have self-parking, which it happens a lot of times when you go to fancier, you know, hotels. They don't have self-park. You have to valet. Here, you had to valet, and the price for valet, I believe, was $50 a night, which, put that together, that's another $100, $120 if you're going to be doing, you know, extra couple hours. But anyways, it's an extra $100. So that was interesting, but getting to this, the cool thing about Los Angeles, and I think that would be a really great thing to bring to Las Vegas now with all the paid parking that we have to do on the Strip, and of course, locals should always be able to park for free, but the idea of validation, and I think this has been, validation's been around for a long time, I mean, all the way back until at least the 90s, maybe even the 80s about validation. And I think this is actually completely fine. If you go into an establishment and you spend money, you know, a certain amount of time, whatever, you should be able to get free parking because you're actually using the parking to go and actually get some business done or, you know, buy an item, you know, invest in some of those stores. You're not just walking around. And you find a lot of validation options in the city of Los Angeles. And I think that's completely okay. So I think we need to bring validation to Las Vegas. It's a very easy thing to do. You just go to the restaurant, you know, you go to a restaurant in a casino, you get your validation, and then you're good to go. I think that would actually fix a lot of problems people have with the parking issues here in Las Vegas. Well, if you go to the Strip and don't spend any money, then you shouldn't get validation. You are basically taking up a spot of somebody who is willing to spend that money. So I think validation would be a fantastic idea for, you know, sort of alleviating problems here in the city. I also think hotel guests shouldn't have to pay for parking. If you want, include it in the resort fee, and you can just say, hey, this is part of your resort fee, and just so much easier. And again, this sort of all trickles down. If I don't have to pay an extra $150 for parking, then I'll be able to spend $150 on dinner or something else inside of the hotel that benefits other people. Parking is basically free money. That's really the reason why we charge for parking in Las Vegas. We've always tried to figure it out when I was at the concierge desk. Is like, why are we charging people for this? And it's free money. That's basically what it is. But anyways, back to LA. Validating, great idea. Love the idea. Love the concept. So when I was there, the reason I actually went to Los Angeles, I'm kind of circling back to this, is that for one of my jobs, I do talk about movies, and I love movies, love film, and I wanted to see Dune Part 2 in IMAX, which I've said this on a bunch of other pods. A really great reason to go on vacation is go to the place where you can only do that. So I ended up going to Los Angeles to watch Dune Part 2 in IMAX at the Universal City Walk, which is one of the largest IMAX screens in the world, and it was awesome. But before we get to that, that was the reason I went. But I basically plan to spend most of the day in like Santa Monica on the first day that I got there, on Wednesday. So I left about, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning. Takes about 4 hours to get there, so I'm there about noon. And I basically, my whole idea was to drive the furthest away from where I'm trying to get to, and then I could work my way back. So I drove all the way to Santa Monica, parked in Santa Monica, very, very reasonable pricing, which they have many places to park there. I actually parked into one of, like, not so much the residential buildings, but sort of like a condo building that I think that they were charging, I want to say it was like $15 for, like, you know, so many hours. It wasn't bad. So I got out. I ended up going to Water Grill, which Water Grill was, you know, pretty good, standard. I didn't know what I wanted to eat, so I basically just had a salad. So it's kind of become my thing if I ever do go to Santa Monica, is that I always go to the Water Grill in Santa Monica because that was the first place I went to Water Grill. I didn't know that it was a chain at that point. But I go to Water Grill. I got a beer. This is right after the Oscars as well. So, all right. It was right after the Oscars. So all these movies had come out kind of on topic. Didn't really talk to the bartender very much, but then this story is going somewhere. I didn't talk to the bartender so much, but then at the end, I noticed, you know, he has an Irish accent, which I kind of noticed when I sat down. But I just brought it up. I was like, well, you know, the the guy who won Best Actor is Irish. After I asked him if he was Irish, he said yes. And he's like, oh, yeah, Cillian Murphy, yeah. So that was my very bad Irish accent. So we kind of talked about it, and then we hit, like, another movie that was at the Oscars and another one, and then another very obscure movie that was at the Oscars. And on, like, the third movie that we talked about, I finally just felt like I had to ask the question. I said, are you an actor? And he said, yes, I am an actor. And it's just like, oh, my goodness. Wonderful city. I love California for these reasons. Because I love Hollywood and I love movies so much is that the people who live in the city, and you always get jaded about the city of Los Angeles and, you know, it's too expensive to live there, which everybody always says that. But it's just a city of dreamers, and I just really, really am fascinated by that. So you never find that. So that's one of the major differences between people in Los Angeles and people in Vegas is that people do want to work and just, you know, get by in LA, and I think that's completely fine. It's like anywhere else. You're going to have people who just want to make a good living, and that's what they want to do. But I feel like everybody in Los Angeles wants to be something bigger and is working to be something bigger in California. I feel like you don't find, like, you know, career bartenders in Los Angeles. They're always trying to become something bigger, which I'm totally okay with because I would love to be able to do that, which is great. But in Las Vegas, a lot of people are very content because of the way the city is built and the way the city's industry works is that so many people in, you know, Las Vegas would love to be a career bartender. They would love to be able to be a bartender for most of their career and then become a general manager or whatever and stay in that industry. Or same thing with people who are waiters and waitresses. That's kind of what they want to do for a long period of time. Porters in Las Vegas, because our convention servers, it just makes really good money. And I think that is the reason a lot of people enjoy the city is because you can make a lot of money doing jobs like that. And that's completely fine. But I never have in my life living here in Las Vegas this actually just recently happened, but never asked somebody about a movie and they were able to sort of rattle them off for me. And it was just so much fun finding somebody who was interested in something that I was interested in. And I think that was a fantastic thing. Although I did go to Delilah's recently, and Dylan, the bartender, is a big movie lover. So that was a very nice thing that I found out about Dylan at Delilah's. So after my time drinking at the Water Grill, I ended up making my way down to, by the Water Grill. Water Grill's great. You know, it's a great view of the ocean, of course. Little away from the Santa Monica Pier, but still like within the Santa Monica sort of confines. But from there, I actually ended up walking over to the Santa Monica Pier itself. And I ended up going to, I always forget the name of it, but it's right next to the roller coaster. And it has a nice little outdoor seating area. And I always get their, I've gotten their fish and chips before, but this time I got their calamari, which is absolutely delicious. So I got their calamari and then just got like a soda or something. I'm not a big fan of, you know, a lot of beer, although I did have a beer at Water Grill, but a lot of times it's for my dad because I really just like love, you know, beer vibes by the ocean. I'm not a big beer person, but just like a nice frosty beer, kind of the salt from the ocean and just vibes, just really feeling good. So I really enjoyed that. But again, when you're in Santa Monica, you can't drive very far. So that's sort of the thing about LA that's different than Las Vegas is that in Vegas, you shouldn't drink and drive whatsoever. But, you know, if you have one beer and then drive, that's fine. But in Vegas, it's much more doable because everything's much closer around. Same thing with Ubers and Lyfts. They're much closer around. But I really don't enjoy taking Ubers and Lyfts in California. It's just way too far apart. So I tend not to drink very much when I'm in California because I don't know the streets. I don't, you know, want to get lost. I don't, you know, I don't trust myself doing that. So I don't drink very much when I'm in Los Angeles if I'm not like right around the corner from my hotel. So either way, I ended up leaving, going to my hotel. I actually took sort of the side streets, which honestly, when the weather's great, I don't mind doing that when I visit Los Angeles because I just want to stay off of the freeway. Does it take 40 minutes to get everywhere? kind of, but it was fun seeing sort of a different part of the city. So that was kind of my night. What did I end up doing that evening? I ended up actually getting back to the hotel. I remember this now. It was actually a whole evening. I actually ended up getting back to the hotel, checking in, freshening up. And then as I sort of was there, I went out. So I was actually around the corner from Rodeo Drive, which just brings me to one of my next things I wanted to talk about, is that this is where, again, where Vegas and Los Angeles differ exponentially, is California. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, Californians. You can always message me on any of my socials. So ConciergeConfidential_LV or Brian_Ortega26 if you have to want to come at me about this. Or you can reach out to me on Twitter @KeysToVegas or TikTok @KeysToVegas. Los Angeles is kind of when the sun is up kind of town. And I feel like when the sun goes down, it's very rare to do things in the evening. Of course, you guys have nightclubs and you have lounges that are popping in the evening. But it really feels like LA is like a daytime city where you do things in the daytime and that's the only time you do it. And again, I've been on Hollywood Boulevard after nighttime, which again is much more touristy, a lot more things going on because again, tourist area. But it does seem like Vegas has a much more active lifestyle when the sun goes down. And again, it could be a locals thing because again, there's lots of local places in town that are open 24 hours. For example, there's lots of like really late night karaoke spots that are open in Chinatown. We also have, you know, Fremont Street, which a lot of things down there are open 24 hours. The Strip, a lot of our, you know, places are open 24 hours, like Pepper Mill's open 24 hours. What else is open? Herbs and Rye closes at like 4 o'clock in the morning. So that's a late night spot. The Tiki Rooms are late night spots as well. So it always feels like in the evening, something is going on. There is sort of an energy and an action somewhere. But in California, there really wasn't. I found this out the hard way. Like I went to Rodeo Drive, and Rodeo Drive, which I consider like a touristy part of town, not a lot going on Rodeo Drive. It was very, very, it was dead, like dead. And I guess people aren't shopping at, you know, 8 o'clock at night, which completely understand. It's kind of similar here, but even our places are open till 9 o'clock. That's when we get all the high rollers, you know, spending money late. But as I'm kind of like just sort of rambling on here, is not a lot of stuff going on in the evenings in Los Angeles. I ended up actually, you know, they have restaurants on Rodeo Drive. So I tried one. It was Cantina Frida, which was sort of like a modern Mexican restaurant. It felt very similar to like Toca Madera, which is over at the Aria Hotel. But again, it just felt, it was very bright. It had TVs on. So it felt very much like a nice restaurant you would take, like, you know, your wife or whatever, just for a normal night out. But like Toca Madera feels like more of a scene, a place to be, you know, seen and, you know, sort of like a place to enjoy sort of a late night sort of mysterious rendezvous, if you will. Well, I don't know why I came up with that one, but that's what it came up with. But Toca Madera, just a really fun, just sort of, you know, sexy hangout. And I know that there's a lot of places in LA that do have this, like Good Time at Davy Wayne's is a fun spot that's sort of near Hollywood. I know about another place that's inside of an adult video store. I think it's called Adults Only, which that one looks really cool. But again, I have to go and look for it or find it. But there are many places in LA that have these things, but it feels like there's so much more sporadically spaced out. And I feel like in Las Vegas, the major difference is that a lot of our places are closer together. For example, like Main Street is a very good example of this. We have Rebar, we have the Velveteen Rabbit, we have Makers and Finders, all these bars that are on Main Street, which are local parts of, you know, it's a local, sort of staple of town, arts district. And I think that what you get a lot of here is late night shenanigans. And I think that's sort of the big difference. So if you are somebody who's going to be traveling for like the day from Vegas to Los Angeles, do stuff in the daytime. That's when you want to get stuff done because that's when you're going to get the most things to check out. So that's one thing that's just sort of my observation. By the way, I did go to the Beverly Wilshire Hotel because I'm a huge fan of the movie Pretty Woman. And suffice it to say, that place is very expensive. As being someone who's gone into expensive restaurants or expensive hotels like the Wynn or, you know, things of this nature, never ordered an old-fashioned and paid $35 for it, a standard old-fashioned. I have paid $50 for a cocktail before, but that was specialty. But I was in just a regular bar over at the Regent Beverly Wilshire. I think it's just actually just called the Beverly Wilshire, not the Regent Beverly Wilshire anymore. But had a, I was like, can I get an old-fashioned with Makers? Poured it in. And then I got the check, and I was like, oh, holy shit. So I ended up not doing that. I did get the cocktail. But I was going to order their Feeling Pretty cocktail, which is their Pretty Woman-inspired cocktail. But that was another $35. And I said, I do not feel like spending $70 on two cocktails in this bar. So didn't get that. But man, like, one of the major changes or, you know, things that I felt differently, because I feel pretty comfortable around, you know, affluent people. But in Vegas, it feels like those type of people are just having a good time. And it feels like they're just letting loose, really just letting their hair down and just really enjoying the night and not caring who's next to them. And there's no guards up, which is nice. But when I was in Los Angeles, it really felt a lot of stuff was very transactional. Because again, people are talking business, people are socializing, but with sort of an angle, if you will, or as in the movie Cruella, they go, what's the angle? But it really did feel that way. So it was actually very fun to sort of see the differences in the bars and such. So I walked away from there, ended up walking and seeing the elevators where Julia Roberts says, what does she say? She says, there's a runner in my pantyhose. I'm not wearing pantyhose. So that was fun. Definitely had to call my mom on that and tell her, like, hey, this is what happened. I just saw this. So that was fun. But anyways, left there, went to the restaurant like I told you about. I might be able to post a video of the dinner I had, which had queso fundido, which was delicious. I had a beautiful steak. It was a really delicious steak that really felt very like Latino or Mexican. So you can taste like the difference in how they prepared the steak, which actually kind of reminded me of home. So I really, really enjoyed that steak. So that was night one. And then when I went to, you know, day two was the day that I had somewhere to be at. I had to be at the movie at 2:30. So I really didn't have many plans before that. I knew I wanted to get breakfast somewhere, which Los Angeles is a great place for breakfast. I don't care what you do here in Las Vegas. Nothing compares to breakfast in Los Angeles. The breakfast scene in LA is so cool. I mean, just because you're able to eat outside is the best part. But everybody does brunch. Everybody knows how to do it. There's lines out the doors to do a lot of these brunch places, which for the longest time, I did not like the idea that you had to wait in these like standing lines. And then you just like, you just sit down when you get a spot. But again, it's kind of normal. I don't think it's normalized in Vegas yet, but I mean, Egg Sled is a perfect example of something that's so freaking ridiculous. Don't go to Egg Sled, guys. Like, I don't think it's worth it. It's an egg sandwich. Who cares? But if it's like a sit-down restaurant, like a cafe, like Peppermill, totally worth it. But I ended up going to one of the places that used to be in Las Vegas, which was at the Golden Gate, and it was one of the best places for breakfast. I absolutely loved it, and that was Dupar's Diner. So I actually ended up driving over to the original one, which I told my mom I was not going to eat there. But then I was like, man, I'm kind of desperate. I just want some breakfast. And Dupar's was actually at the farmer's market, which is near the Grove. And I ended up, you know, this is the validating for parking thing. So, you know, was able to park outside. And then I walked up to the original Dupar's, which looked beautiful. Fantastic, just sort of old, sort of mid-century like architecture on this Dupar's. I think it's been open since 1946. I walked in and I knew exactly what I was going to get. I got the pancakes that are, you know, are covered qualified? What's looking for? Clarified butter, which, Ugh, it's so good. And then obviously it was a short stack with butter on top of it, of course. And then of course we poured the warm syrup, had a side of bacon with it, and a beautiful glass of Coke. It was so delicious. Oh, so good. And I couldn't finish it. It was just so much pancakes. It just reminded me of when I used to get these pancakes. I could never finish it all, which I'm glad I didn't finish it all because I would be sick because it's way too many pancakes. But love their menu. They also have really great donuts and things to go, cinnamon rolls. Oh, they're so good. Highly recommend Dupars if you ever get to Los Angeles. I always recommend Dupars if you can. There's only a few locations left. I think there's maybe two locations left in Los Angeles. There is one location in Las Vegas, which is located at the Suncoast, but it's not actually the same one. It's not owned by the same people, so it's okay. But man, the one, the Dupars I had was delicious. So that was my breakfast thing that I got out of the way and walked through the Grove. And I do have to say this, it is definitely worth walking through the Grove if you are a fan of food. So if you're somebody who's, you know, leaving Vegas for the day, and you really want to try lots of different types of food that are not very expensive, highly recommend the Grove and Farmers Market area. They're kind of connected, sort of. But the Farmers Market is actually where you're going to get a lot of the food items. They have like pupusas. They also have like a place that can make tacos. They also have Dupars, of course, and a bunch. I like to have a pretzel place. They have all these different things inside of the Farmers Market that are delicious. So highly recommend doing that if you end up going to LA and you are in sort of that area and you want to be sort of like, and this is like sort of an affluent area, obviously, but it's a very fun touristy spot to be at. Just because, again, there's lots of things to sort of explore and walk through. And of course, it's, you know, outside, which makes it even better. But I actually ended up walking through the Grove, and this was the daytime, and it was beautiful weather outside. Nothing beats California in the daytime. But the Grove, I could see, is a really nice place to go in the evening. They have a beautiful-looking movie theater. I would have loved to go check out the inside. And then they also have, you know, shops like the Nike store. They have, like, a Louis Vuitton. They have a Michael Kors, of course. But really, really great. But again, this is something that, you know, Vegas really just doesn't have. We have outdoor walking areas, but it's so hot here. And it's not nice. Like, the Grove itself is just really, really pretty. They have this very nice fountain in the center of it. People were doing, like, kid yoga over in the grass area. It just, we don't have those things here. Like, we have the North Outlets, which is outdoor shopping, but it's, you know, it's just big, giant, feels like you're a big, giant concrete space. So I'm not a big fan of that. We have, you know, Town Square, which is cool, but again, similar. I mean, it's the closest thing I would say to the Grove, but doesn't have that sort of cool gravitas, if you will. But it's actually getting better. We're going to have a putting experience, which I totally forgot the name of it right now. But I don't know. Maybe Town Square is probably the best comp to, let's just say, the Grove, I would say. So with that, I end up going to Universal Studios. So I actually made a nice little trip going through Hollywood. So I actually ended up taking the MapQuest, which didn't have to go on the freeway. Only time I had to get on the freeway was when I went back home and when I came from Los Angeles. So that wasn't too bad. But I would say Hollywood Boulevard is a great touristy spot for people who have never been to Los Angeles, just because you're going to hit all of the touristy things that you may have wanted to see when you came to Los Angeles. So they have all of the stars, which is really fantastic. All of the, you know, Hollywood Walk of Fame. They have the Chinese Theater, which if you're able to watch a movie in their theater, that would be awesome. I've actually seen a movie in the Chinese Theater. It is an IMAX theater. So they were actually able to show the 70mm IMAX print of Oppenheimer, which I believe the Chinese Theater is a very ornate, very old movie palace. We call them movie palaces, built during the 1930s, really late 1920s into the 30s. And it's really, really worth it if you wanted to do a tour of the Chinese Theater. It's beautiful on the inside. It actually has these very old sort of like red seats. They have all these, this beautiful It's not quite a chandelier, but this beautiful arrangement on top of the theater, which just looks fantastic. They also have the walls are painted with these beautiful sort of like Oriental style frescoes. And they also, you have to go down these steps. It gets completely dark in there. It's one of the darkest theaters I've ever been inside of. And when I had to go see Oppenheimer in 70 millimeter, they actually had to make an extension for it to make the film room bigger, which is even cooler. But highly recommend if you are new, like if you're here from Europe or from, you know, Australia or New Zealand, it's worth it to actually drive to Los Angeles and check all this out. It's where all of like a lot of show business stuff is, and a place I actually ate at is going to be on Hollywood Boulevard. So I always think of Hollywood Boulevard as movie Hollywood, you know, Hollywood, you know, theaters, movie Hollywood, and then the Sunset Strip as like music Hollywood. So that's where you get like the rock bands, all the people that came through, all the very famous bars. They have the Laugh Factory on Sunset. They also have, what do they have down there? They have Roxbury's down there. They also have, it used to be called, what's it called? I forgot. But anyways, you know what I mean. So obviously you can tell I'm not into music, but that's where a lot of the bars and hangouts are. That's where the Pink Taco, which is really popular down there as well. But that's where you're going to get a lot of that touristy aspects of Los Angeles. So anyways, making my way down to Universal Studios. So the Universal City Walk is where they have the AMC Universal Theater, which is an IMAX, which is the largest one in the United States. Sorry, largest one on the West Coast. You do have to pay for parking, just as if you're going to the park, which I believe was $15 for their like regular parking. So that sucked. But I bought my tickets way ahead in time. But I have to say, the Universal City Walk, little lame. For somebody who, maybe at nighttime it's like fun to do, but I can even see at nighttime it's like not a thing. I actually ended up, what did I do? I was watching the movie Think Like a Man and I was like, oh, like look, City Walk, that looks fun. After being on City Walk for 2 hours, it is not that fun a place to be if you are an adult. They have a couple different sort of very generic bars, including Bubba Gump Shrimp. They have an NBC Sports bar, which serves the absolute most generic food ever. This space, the only thing I can compare the Universal City Walk to would be like Fremont Street. And Fremont Street, I would say, blows the City Walk out of the water just because of the amount of variety of things they have. They do have, I mean, we don't have a lot of things for kids, but we do have a lot of different places to eat that are a lot different and a lot more, I would say, varied in terms of high end, low end, and things to do as adults. And again, these are not complete comparisons of each other because they serve different purposes. The City Walk has many, many different places to shop, but it's really great if you are trying to go to Universal Studios because it kind of gets the juices flowing. They have really, really great gift shops, especially if you want to do a lot of shopping before you head back on your plane back to, you know, the UK or Australia or Japan or whatever. They have a Dodgers store. They also have a Raiders Image, which is a Raiders store, which is funny because they are now in Las Vegas, but hey, what can you do? But again, they have a Margaritaville there. Oh my God, just even more cheesiness. But I ended up going to the movie theater there, and the movie theater experience itself was awesome. It's actually one of the best movie theaters, I would say if you're going to go see IMAX, it is totally worth it. I've been into the other theaters at the Universal AMC, and they're a little weird. It's a little bit weird if you're going to go see another regular movie. So I would recommend if it's specifically going to be an IMAX and specifically IMAX 70 millimeter, which is going to be coming a lot lately, definitely worth it. And did I enjoy the movie I saw, which was Dune Part 2? I thought it was a transformative experience for myself. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was 100% worth it. I would check it out. So to sort of wrap this all up, I ended up leaving and it was time for dinner. And I have to say this is actually a kind of a, I think a tip if you're going to be going through LA for these kind of things. I would say plan things along the way as you go. And again, this might be a stupid thing, and I know a lot of people will stay somewhere so it gets later so the traffic isn't as heavy, but I ended up working my way to go from Universal Studios, so I don't have to get on the freeway, through Hollywood Boulevard, where I actually stopped, and I ate at the world-famous, one of the oldest restaurants in Los Angeles, Musso and Frank's, which Musso and Frank's was built, I believe, in 1946. I'd have to check the sign. And what's really cool is that Musso and Frank's, it was used in the movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and it really feels historic when you go inside of it. And it actually, I've talked to a couple people from Los Angeles that say it's actually one of the sort of, not cheesy, but one of those like classic cheesy Hollywood things that is actually pretty good. And I really enjoyed it, and I had to get a steak. I hated that I ate steak 2 days in a row, but I felt like I couldn't go to Musso and Frank's and not have a steak. So I ended up having a steak, and it was so cool. If you are driving, it is 100% worth it to, you know, valet your car. I think it was with validation. With validation, I don't think you had to charge anything. Yeah, with validation, no charge. But I think I ended up getting, maybe it was, I think it was like maybe $15. I don't know. Anyways, doesn't matter. So it's under, it's if you go to the restaurant, I think it's under $15. So that was for the valet. But totally worth it. So you pull up to the valet, and then you go into the doors because the awning is right there. And you actually are entering the back of the restaurant. So when you enter in, you have to see all of this wood. And then you see the kitchen through the glass. But it's just glass in the top part. It's all like wood. And then you go down the steps and then make a right. And it feels, this is the closest I ever felt to the movie Goodfellas when they're walking through the back of the Copacabana through the kitchen. This is the closest I've felt. So you go down the steps, you make a right, and then you turn a left, and then boom, you're in the restaurant. And the restaurant has these really cool sort of top, like these really large booths, you know, again, more wood. That's, you just, everybody kind of has their own little space, and you can't really spy on people, which I think is makes it quintessential Hollywood. I did walk into the cocktail bar, which was like super, super full. And I was like, oh my God, like I feel so not out of place, but I feel so stupid. As comfortable as I feel walking through our bars and restaurants in Las Vegas, I felt like a fish out of water. But all I had to do was walk around a little bit, went back to the main dining room, and they actually have a counter, which didn't look like a counter, but they have a counter where you can sit. I went and sat down, and then, you know, all these very, like, old-school-looking waiters with these dinner jackets. It really felt like 1950s Hollywood. It felt like very classic Hollywood at that point. And and this is what I think we're missing from Vegas, is that we don't have these cool spots. And again, this is anywhere. I think everywhere has these problems. But you can see the grill right there, and you can see the grill master there putting his stuff in and out, in and out. And it was just such a cool performance of how all of this was going on. And I was just so excited to try the steak. And the steak was delicious. I had steak with fries, had an old fashioned, was delicious. And everything just sort of really hit perfectly. So that was a great way to sort of end my evening in Los Angeles before I had to get back home the next day. So to wrap up last night in Vegas, and this was kind of a long one, but that was because it was a very long trip. But hopefully you guys enjoyed it. I mean, I spent a lot of time when I was there, so I just really wanted to share my experience. But I definitely really do enjoy, you know, going to LA, and I've experienced like places like Pasadena, Santa Anita, where the racetrack is, obviously Hollywood aspects of LA. The Beverly Hills area was, of course, beautiful and elegant, and it's not all like that, but I really enjoyed my time there. But yeah, I think it's always fun living in Las Vegas because you are able to still drive to LA to experience the beaches and experience sort of the California lifestyle without sort of the California prices, if you will, day in and day out. So again, one of the, you know, major differences is because, you know, Vegas is a nighttime town. I think we have a lot of nighttime options, while in California, you have much more daytime options. And I think that would be great for anybody visiting from Europe. If you wanted to take a day trip to LA, I think it's 100% worth it. I mean, when are you going to be here in the United States and be able to see all those things again? And really, it's only about a three and a half to 4 hour drive. It's totally worth it. And again, if you catch a quick flight, I mean, even better. So the flight is about, I want to say 56 minutes, maybe even less. So it's very, very close and definitely worth your time if you're going to be here in Las Vegas for an extended period of time. So anyways, that was Last Night in Vegas. I know it was kind of a supersized version, but thank you so much for listening. I always appreciate you guys taking the time out of your day to listen to this. For those of you saying this wasn't about Las Vegas, well, too bad. It's my pod, so I get to talk about whatever I want. So anyways, thank you so much for listening, everybody. Hopefully you enjoy the rest of your day. And remember, if I see you in town, come say hello. Maybe we'll have a drink. But remember, keep it confidential.